Well, y'all, what is the messiest circle in your house? Think about it. Messiest circle. All right, for me and at my house, it's the bathroom sink, the master bathroom sink in particular. Like, we're clean people, and it just devolves into mess faster than anything else in our house. And when I look at the sink and I see the mess, do you know what I see? Like, I see Ashley's long brown hair going down the drain, and it's going to find its friends, and they're going to clog it, and I'm going to have to deal with it. You know what I'm talking about, right? Like, I see that, but I also see her makeup residue, like mascara and the face stuff, and the, I guess it's all face stuff, right? I don't know what it is, but it's everywhere. And then I see things like the disposable used contacts going down the drain. You're not supposed to put those things in the sink. Like, that's the mess that I see around the sink. Can anybody relate to that this morning? Now, when Ashley looks at the mess that is our bathroom sink, what does she see? Beard hair. Like, tons and tons of little stubbly red beard hairs, because having a beard this beautiful takes maintenance, right? Like, I got to maintain this thing on a daily basis, and so I'm always trimming, and so they're always everywhere, and apparently I also have a problem with aiming when I spit my toothpaste, so there's the toothpaste residue. When Ashley looks at the mess that is our bathroom sink, man, she can't not see the stuff that I contribute. Is that how it is at your house? I think it is, because I think that's really kind of how it is in life. When we look at the messes in our relationships, it is so intuitive for us to see the other person's stuff and not to see our own. And this morning's message is about marriage. We're going to talk about marriage, but honestly, you could apply these principles to any relationship. When we look at our marriages and we look at the messes in our marriages, the reality is it is so much easier to see our spouse's stuff than to see our stuff, to see the things that they do that contribute to the tensions, rather than to see the things that we do that contribute to the tensions, and to see the things that we bring to the tension that ultimately creates the conflict. It's so much easier to see their stuff that creates the conflict than it is to see my stuff or your stuff that creates the conflict. You know what I'm talking about, right? What we do is we have this kind of attitude that looks at their stuff and sees their messes so easily and says, God, would you fix that? Like, could somebody come in and fix this woman? Could somebody come in and fix this person? While all at the same time, what do? I excuse my stuff. I overlook my sins, and I'm blind to the messes that I create. Now, Jesus actually spoke pretty directly to this. Maybe this passage is familiar, maybe it's not, and I don't actually want you to turn there, because we're going to put our focus somewhere else this morning. But in Matthew chapter 7, verses 3 through 5, if you're a note taker, you may want to jot that down. Matthew 7, 3 through 5, this is what Jesus said. He said, why is it that you look at that speck of sawdust that's in your brother's eye, your neighbor's eye, or for the context of today, your spouse's eye, right? Why is it that you look at that speck of sawdust that's in your spouse's eye, all the while ignoring this plank of wood that's coming out of your own eye? Do you hear how that's similar in what Jesus is saying there? And Jesus goes on to say, why is it? Why would you try to remove that from your spouse's eye, from your brother's eye, from your neighbor's eye, and leave this hanging out of your face, this block of wood that's coming out of your eyeball? What Jesus is saying is you, in your nature, are focused on other people's stuff, and he's calling our attention to focus on our own stuff. And this morning, as we talk about marriage particularly, I want to draw your attention to some critical questions. I want you to ask these questions of yourself. Really, I want you to think through these in an introspective kind of way. Let's do some self-assessment this morning. And here's the first question. Do you spend most of your time and effort focusing on you or on your spouse? Let's be honest about that. Do you spend most of your time and energy focusing on your wife, focusing on your husband, or focusing on yourself? Which is it? Where do you put most of that energy? Where do you put most of that time? What has most of your attention? Which one do you pray more about? The stuff that your spouse is doing that you pray that they would stop doing, or the stuff that you're doing that you would pray that God would help you to stop doing? I want you to be honest on that, and I want you to circle one in your notes, whether it's you or them, whether it's you or your spouse. And again, this could apply to any relationship. So if you're not married this morning, think about any particular relationship and the tensions and the struggles and the chaos that you face and the conflict that's there. And ask yourself, are you focusing more on what you bring to that or what they bring to that? And what I want to train and teach us to do this morning is to change our mindset because of who we are in Christ. I want us to have a different mentality in regards to this. What does it look like to have our minds changed and to think differently? And ultimately, that's what this message is about. It's about the circles of responsibility. This is a principle in our Re-Engage ministry, and we would love to invite you to join us in Re-Engage. It's our marriage enrichment ministry. It is for both people who are struggling and about to call it quits, and it's also for people who are just looking for strengthening and want some equipping, right? It's an emergency room, and it's a gym where you can get rescue or you can just work out and get better, right? So circles of responsibility teaches us this, and this is the heart of the principle. You draw a circle around yourself. Draw a circle around yourself, and then you focus on the person inside the circle, okay? So I want you to do that right in your space this morning, just kind of a mental circle. Like, I want you to really walk through this exercise. Draw a circle around yourself, and then focus on the person inside the circle. And this is the one inside the circle is the one you're asking God to fix, the one that you're asking God to change, the one whose mess you're going to be aware of, whose sins and flaws and imperfections you're going to let have your attention, the person inside the circle. But we need to talk a little bit more about this. As you draw the circle around yourself, it matters how big your circle is, because some of us are inclined to draw really, really big circles. Right? Like, when you draw the circle around yourself, it's big enough to include you, them, and everybody else. And what that means is that you would take responsibility for everything, for your stuff, their stuff, and everybody else's stuff that you can cram into the circle. You're the type that takes responsibility for all the stuff. And the reality is, you're wearing yourself out. It's hard enough to control ourselves with God's help. You are absolutely helpless to control another person, at least not in a way that's healthy and dynamic. And some of us just draw our circles way, way too big, trying to take responsibility for everything. But then there's another category of us. It's the types that draw our circles really, really small, right? Like, I'm not hardly getting in there. And that's the point. When your circle's too small, it's not big enough for your stuff. Like, you're blind to the things that you bring. You're blind to your flaws and the things that contribute to the tensions and the conflict and the relationship. And the things that it is that you bring into this, the messes that are in your sink, in the sink of your life. And when your circle is just too small, it's not even taking responsibility for yourself. No, what we're trying to do is draw the right size circle around ourselves. And this is what I want you to see this morning. The size of your circle is actually a representation of your understanding of the gospel, the good news of Jesus, and your view of God. Like, it's that big of a deal. I really believe that. The size of your circle is a representation of your understanding of the gospel and your view of God. This is what I mean by that. When your circle is way too small, newsflash, you think you're Jesus, right? This is actually a little bit big. My circle is even smaller than that because I'm perfect, right? Only Jesus is perfect. Every marriage is a combination of two flawed and sinful people. Every single marriage is a combination of two flawed and sinful people, yours, mine, and every other one that has ever existed. And so when your circle's too small, you think you're perfect and you're so blind to your own flaws and the messes and the tensions that you're creating and bringing into the relationship, and you just need to have your eyes opened and your circle broadened. But even a circle that's too big is a representation of your view of God and the gospel. Because when your circle is too big, when it's so big that it includes you and everybody else, what you're saying is, I'm responsible for everything and everybody. You know who's responsible for everything and everybody? God, not you. Right? You say, I can control me and them and everybody else that I can cram into here. You can't. You know who can control you and everybody else? God. And when your circle is so big, it shows that you think you're God. So whether it's that you think you're perfect like Jesus, or you think you're responsible for everything and in control of everything like God, the size of your circle represents your understanding of the gospel. And when we get the right size circle, we say, you know what? I recognize that I need Jesus and I need his help. And I can't fix them, but with God's help, I can fix me. With the help of God and the grace of God, I can change, I can transform, I can grow, I can be different. And so when I get the appropriate size circle, the question becomes, what do I do in there, right? But before we get there, I want you to think about your circle and how big you draw it. That's the next question of introspection. I want you to assess this about yourself. Think about your marriage relationship. When it comes to that, which perspective best describes you? Is your circle too big or is your circle too small? I want you to circle one on your paper. Is it too big? Is it too small? Like, think in big general terms in regards to your marriage. Are you the type that's trying to take responsibility for everything? Are you the type that's not taking responsibility for enough? Is your circle too big or is your circle too small? And when you begin to get to that point that you have the appropriate sized circle, then the question becomes, okay, what do I do? I am drawing a circle around myself and I am focusing upon the person in the side of the circle. So now what do I do, God? And this is where I believe God gives us a lot of help. And I want you to turn your Bibles with me to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians is in the New Testament portion of your Bible. We'll be in Galatians chapter 5. You'll go to the beginning of the New Testament. You'll see Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. These are the Gospels, the good news of the life of Jesus. After that is Acts. It's the history of the beginning of the church. And then you get into these letters or epistles, these small books of the Bible. There's a couple big ones, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians. And then you'll find these little bitty ones, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. We're going to Galatians chapter 5 this morning, verses 16 through 18. And as we look at this, we're answering the question, what do I do when I'm inside my circle? Galatians 5, verse 16. So I say, walk by the Spirit. Now this Spirit is the Holy Spirit of God. The third person in the Godhead, the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is a reference to the Holy Spirit of God. I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. And the flesh is our human nature, right? This is a metaphor used to describe who we are as human beings. For the flesh, our human nature, desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh, and they are in conflict with each other. And so I want you to see this, that inside of every single follower of Christ, there is a battle being waged. There's this flesh-spirit battle, a battle between our human nature and our new nature because of who we are in Christ, and they are in conflict with each other. You remember the old cartoons that had like the angel and the devil, one on each shoulder? That's kind of what I'm talking about here, but it's not really a good picture of that because the reality is the Spirit of God is greater, right? They're not equals. He who is in us is greater than he who is in this world, and it is the enemy that uses our sinful nature to try to manipulate us into this, but there is this battle going on inside of every one of our souls. They are in conflict with each other so that you do not do whatever you want, but if you are led by the Spirit, if you are led by the Holy Spirit of God, you are not under the law. And what this means is where the Spirit of God is, there is freedom. And the Spirit is a gift that God gives us as followers of Christ. When we step over the line of faith and we give our life to Jesus, he gives us the gift of the Spirit of God and we become the temple of God. And the Holy Spirit literally dwells within us. God gives us his presence in a dwelling, indwelling kind of way. And so when this says walk by the Spirit, when this says be led by the Spirit, it's this understanding of our theology that the Spirit of God dwells within us. And then we're just to remain. That's the key word here, remain. What am I going to do when I'm inside my circle? I'm going to remain in the Spirit, be led by the Spirit, live in the Spirit. I'm going to remain with the Spirit. The way Jesus said this in John 15 is that we are to abide. To abide or to remain. And what this is about is our connection with God. And what I'm talking about here is focusing your energy and your attention and your discipline and your life on investing in this vertical relationship with God where you're connecting with God. And as you do, God is connecting with you. And this connection brings about transformation as we live by the Spirit. And as we're led by the Spirit, we're being changed into who God wants us to be as we become more and more and more like Jesus Christ. And as we connect with Christ, it changes us, and then that changes our horizontal relationships. As an overflow of this love and this connection that's happening vertically, horizontally, it begins to affect and to change and to transform our perspectives and our actions in regards to our horizontal relationships. And so about remaining is about focusing this way vertically. The verses continue, okay? Remember, this is what we do inside the circle. We remain, but then secondarily, we do this. Galatians 5, 19. The acts of the flesh, our human nature, are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. Sounds like a Dr. Seuss book. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. And what you see here in Galatians 5, verses 19 through 21, is this list of sins. And it's not exhaustive. It's pretty comprehensive, though, right? Like, it's a long list of different kinds of sins. And when you think about those sins, if they're inside your circle, what do? They destroy. They destroy your marriage because that's what sin does. Sin is the tool of the enemy, the evil one. And the Bible tells us that the enemy seeks to kill and steal and destroy. And he wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy your marriage. And he wants to use your own sins that are inside your circle to bring about that destruction. And so you look at this list of sins and just think about it. If you apply this to marriage, it's destructive. Sexual immorality, that'll destroy a marriage, won't it? Hatred, that'll break you down, won't it? Jealousy, that'll destroy a marriage. And so when we recognize there's this list of sins and their destructive potential inside of our marriages, when this comes out of me and it's in my circle and then it's in our relationship, it has this destructive potential, what do I do? What do I do as I draw the circle around myself and I recognize these sins that are destructive? Well, the R word there is repent. So we remain and then we repent. And we flee from sin. That's what it means to repent, to flee from our sins. And it's not just a fleeing from sin into not sinning. It's not just a behavior management kind of thing where you try to make yourself better. No, it's recognizing that we remain in the Spirit and we have this connection with God. And repentance is a fleeing from sin in such a way that we don't just stop sinning. We don't just stop loving that sin, but our affections shift and our love of sin becomes a love of Christ. It's a replacement and exchange in our loves and our passions and the things that we care about. And as we grow more in love with Christ, we become less in love with these sins that so easily entangle us and seek to destroy us. And that's what it is to repent. It's to turn ourselves from our sin, to flee from it by fleeing to Jesus. And then remaining in that, because we recognize the destructive nature of sin. But when it comes particularly to marriage and this idea of drawing a circle around ourselves, I want us to recognize something this morning. Because as you think about this and your need to repent, what do we do inside the circle? Repent. I don't want you to excuse yourself. I want everybody to get caught this morning, okay? Including me. Because what we think is that it's the big messes that destroy marriages, right? It's the big ones that set off bombs when they come inside our circle. It's the big things like adultery or infidelity. Those are the kinds of things that destroy marriages, right? And I'm not on that path. I want you to see and understand this morning that the destructive nature of sin, yes, those big bombs will blow you up, but so will the little ones. Little one after little one after little one, mess after mess after mess. Selfish, sinful pride after selfish, sinful pride. After selfish, sinful pride will erode your marriage and do the same work of destruction as the big bombs. And so don't let yourself off the hook on this one. Let's all draw the circle around ourselves and look for what it is inside of us that we need to repent of, no matter how big or how small that it is. And we repent, we flee from sin. So we remain and then we repent. Let's go back to the scriptures, Galatians 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit of God dwelling inside of the follower of Christ is love, joy, peace, forbearance or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Let me read those again. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit and let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. And this is what I want you to see. The work of the Spirit of God that dwells within us is a gift of God that comes with our salvation, our rescue, right? We recognize, we discover that Jesus is Savior, but then we develop in this relationship with Jesus as we come to know him more and more as Lord, the one who's calling the shots in our lives. Well, he gives us the Spirit to lead us into that, to lead us to remain, to lead us to repent, but also to reap the produce of the Holy Spirit of God in our lives. And the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. And if you look at that laundry list of sins and you think about how destructive that is inside the circle and inside the marriage relationship, I want you to look at the list of the fruits of the Spirit and see how productive they are, how life-giving they are, how constructive they are as we build our marriages on the fruit of the Spirit that is coming out of us. What happens if we reap more love in our marriages? What happens if we reap more joy, more patience with our spouse, more peace in our homes, more gentleness with our wives and more self-control in our behaviors. Now, as you think about this and you think about what you do in regards to reaping, right? Draw the circle around yourself and it is to reap. Let's think a little bit about what is yours and what is not yours, okay? So I want you to think about it this way. Who reaps? Who harvests fruit? A farmer, right? That's what a farmer does. He grows the fruit and then he harvests it. But let's think about the process there. Now the farmer, yes, he tills the ground. Yes, the farmer plants the seed. Yes, he brings in the water. He does all of that hard work. And then when the plant grows and the produce comes out, he goes and he picks the fruit. He harvests it or he reaps the harvest. But does the farmer actually do any of the growing? No. It's God who made the soil. It's God who created the water. It's God who provided the seed. It is God who gives the sunlight. And ultimately, the transformation that happens from the seed to make it a plant and then the plant bears fruit, that is something, my friends, that only God can do. And so when it comes to being the farmer, we recognize that we can't actually produce this. We just pick the fruit that God grows. I want you to think about that fake fruit. It's worthless. This is child's play, right? The reality is fake fruit is not going to change your marriage. So whatever amount of love or joy or peace or patience you can muster up in and of side yourself, that's just fake. It's the real stuff that only God can produce in us that is sweet, that is satisfying, and that will lead us to be healthy, right? So we're just the farmer in this scenario, reaping the harvest of what God is doing inside of us. And so we ask God, God, give me more love for my wife. God, bring more joy to my marriage. God, help us to experience a peace that we can't experience apart from you. God, I need the Holy Spirit to supernaturally help me be patient because my flesh is impatient and it's not gentle and I'm struggling with self-control. But based on your help and your presence in my life, I believe that I can be controlled for good and for your glory. And so we remain and we repent and we reap. And this morning, I want you to decide which area you need to focus on. So for you today, is it about remaining? I mean, we always need to do all three of these things inside of our circle, but today specifically, and in specifically relation to your marriage relationship, is it remain? Is it repent? Is it reap? Is it recognizing that you've been neglecting this vertical connection and you're not investing yourself in a relationship with God and you truly do believe that if he would change your heart, that would change your horizontal relationships, and you just need to invest yourself in connecting more with God and remain? Like leverage this life that we have because of the power and the presence of the Spirit of God in us. Invest yourself into that. Is it to repent? Is it that you hear this and you know exactly what sins, big and small, are destroying you? You know the sins that you commit, the flaws that you bring, the tensions that you create, and you know how they're destroying you in your marriage, and you know you've got to get those out of your circle. You've got to flee from those and run to Jesus. Or maybe it's reap. And when you hear that list of the fruits of the Spirit, you know immediately, oh God, if there was just more love, it would change my marriage. If there was just more peace, more patience, more gentleness, it would transform our experience. And so this morning, I want you to circle one. Where do you need to put your focus as you consider what God is calling you to in your relationships? And when you do, and you draw the circle around yourself and you focus on the person inside the circle, I want you to see that it is your work to remain, to repent, and to reap. But then I want you to be aware of this, that everything outside of this circle is beyond your control. Inside the circle, y'all, apart from God's help, it's impossible to control ourselves, but with the hope and the peace of the Holy Spirit, like we can come to the point that we experience the fruit of self-control. But outside of the circle, you will not, cannot control your spouse, not in a way that is dynamic and healthy and God-honoring. Everything inside the circle is yours. Everything outside the circle is God's. And you just simply have to trust God for their response and for the results. You do everything you can, focusing on you and cleaning up your messes and asking God to help you with all of this and to fix you. And as you do, you just have to trust him for the results and the response. You cannot manipulate how they respond to what God is doing inside your circle. Only God can fix that. Only God can control that. And you focus on doing what you know that God is calling you to. And then you sit back and watch and see what God does in you and through you. And so for everything inside the circle, you obey. You obey in remaining, you obey in repenting, you obey in reaping. And for everything outside the circle, you pray and you pray and you pray for your spouse. You pray for their response, you pray for their reaction, and you beg God to do what only He can do. And you trust His control. And y'all, what I know is that's a whole lot easier to say than it is to do. It's easier said than done, isn't it? But this morning, I want you to meet a couple that's living this. They've walked through some hard marriage things. They've walked through some things that could have blown up and destroyed their marriage, but instead God used it to draw them closer to Him and to each other. And I want you to hear from them this morning. So y'all welcome Kevin and Brittany Rosenbaum this morning. So guys, what's going on here is a conversation. Thanks, Andrew. What's going on here is a conversation, and that's what we're wanting to do in this circle series. And so we're just inviting you in with us, all right, to have this conversation about what God has taught us this morning. So guys, thanks so much for being authentic and for joining me. What they don't know is that we're friends, and I've had a front row seat to watching what God is doing in y'all, and I love it. And I'm grateful for your willingness to share and to be honest and to talk about real things and how life is hard and how marriage is beautiful. So let's talk about this. Let's talk about this idea of owning the stuff in your circle. What does that look like in real life?
Well, it's hard. The reality is it's very hard. And when we walk through really, really tough times, then we get a reality check of our stuff if we're willing to own it. And, you know, looking back, I would say that my circle was much too large and assuming a lot of responsibility for myself and for too many others that was never God's intent. And thinking about the way that you framed it today, where if you have this large circle, you're kind of thinking that you're God or trying to be God, is such a reality check on that. And so it's hard to own your things, but it's absolutely necessary to own your things and then recognize the appropriate size of circle and responsibility.
In my case, I would say my circle was too large outside of the house. Taking on everybody's responsibilities as my own, which therefore made my circle way too small inside the house, neglecting my issues, my trash that I was throwing in the circle, and just putting that on our marriage and making it harder.
I think you bring up a good point, Kevin, that we can simultaneously have different size circles. And yours, I appreciate you, you know, saying honestly, outside the circle, it was so big, and I think that infected inside the house. It made my circle small. I was actually thinking about it. I was like, I'm going to answer these questions too, right? I'm going to practice what I preach here. And so I was having a hard time. I was going, in some ways, my circle is too small, and I really think I'm better than I am. And then I thought also, sometimes it's too big, it's easy for me to see her stuff. And I was like, ah, dang, I think that makes me kind of difficult to live with. Maybe so. So what have you guys learned about, you know, kind of owning your own stuff as you experience this idea of, you know, taking this responsibility? Brittany, I know you talked about, when hard things come and the struggle comes, it doesn't just expose their stuff, but it does expose your stuff too. How'd you get there?
So when we really started having an extremely tough time in our marriage, we sought help. And we went and got counseling and therapy and not just for the marriage part individually. And something the therapist said one time, and it stuck with me and it still sticks with me, and it's something that I pray about every day, they asked me, do you see Kevin the way that Jesus sees Kevin? Do you love him the way that Jesus loves him? And that just hit me, because I'm so grateful for the way Jesus loves me and that he forgives me and that he died on the cross for me. But do I love my husband that same way? And at that time, I didn't. And when you pray to love someone the way Jesus loves them, it's really hard to be mad at them. And it's really hard to harbor resentment and anger and frustration. And so that was a game changer for me in recognizing my stuff. Because if I believe that Jesus loves me that way and would forgive me that way, then of course he does, Kevin, and I should feel the same. And so that was a game changer for me in setting an appropriate size circle and owning my stuff and what I brought to the table and all the little pieces of trash that began to splinter and crater our marriage, that allowed the devil to throw some pretty big stuff our way. But it was the recognizing of that and getting that right with God that allowed this relationship to begin to heal.
So the counselor asks you that powerful question, will you love this guy the way Jesus loves him? And, you know, that steps on your toes, but it ignites your heart all at the same time. Was that shifting in perspective hard, easy? Like, was it immediate? How did that work out?
It's extremely hard, especially when you have allowed potentially years of little things that you've built up a callus towards the other person. And it's your just mode of operation to not be happy and to not love the way that you should. And so it is very hard, but that's where prayer comes in and where your relationship, where the remain, when you make the choice to remain in the Spirit and then continue to pray for that, pray for that love to be there and pray for that relationship to be there, it begins to happen because you're not making it happen. God's making that happen and allowing yourself to repent from your things.
You know, the circles of responsibility, I think, are so helpful in drawing our focus to our own messes and stuff. But the reality is, at the same time, I mean, one of the beauties of marriage is that God has given us this gift of this person, right? The reality is no one knows me, including my sins, better than Ashley Dane. And so she's this tool in God's tool belt that he can use to make me become more like Jesus. And when I really invite her into the circle, right, she doesn't force her way in, but I invite her in and say, help me be better. Then we start working on our stuff together. Man, that's when you're really genuine and marriage is doing what God wants it to do. And that's what I've seen in you guys. Like, you have worked together to work through some really hard stuff. So how have you worked together instead of working against each other with the heavy and the hard stuff?
Well, first, like Brittany had said, we had to get our relationship with God individually right, and that's still it's an everyday focus. When we wake up, we pray together. We go to sleep, we pray together. Pray with our girls throughout the day as much as we can, as much as time allows. But just keeping that focus on God, and that has allowed us to open up to each other, not let the little things drop into our circle. And I know you said everybody has an individual circle. Our circle is one. And I think, and I know that through the process, we have learned that. And just being able to talk through everything and be a team, team together.
Pulling for the same thing at the same time in the same direction. That's what a team does, right?
Exactly.
Well, what I said this morning is that we just have to trust God for the results. You guys have remained, you've repented, you've reaped. Has God brought results?
He has. You know, we've said multiple times, our marriage was great. We thought it was everything we dreamed of, but looking back, now we have a new marriage, and this is, words can't even describe, every day.
Yeah, use the example of Christ and our marriage, and what we went through was really like the death, burial, and resurrection. It was the death of an old marriage that was not centered on God, and burying those things and walking away from them, and then allowing this new marriage, which is beautiful. I mean, it's nothing I ever imagined it could be. I never saw marriage this way. And what God has in store for marriage is more than I think we even dreamed of. And it's just this amazing, deep relationship. And I'm so grateful for the fire that we went through. And that's a really hard place to be at, but I am. And a part of the reaping is this up here on this stage, as hard as that is. We prayed and prayed through really that repentance portion that, God, if you will just get us through this, then we want you to use us, however that looks. And so being here this morning and talking is a part of the reaping, and then being a part of Reengage when that starts very soon as apprentice leaders is another part of that, that we're not just reaping the love and the joy and the peace and the patience together, we're reaping and being able to invest in other couples that we hope God will bring our way to help.
As your friend, what I've observed is that part of the result really is just the beauty of deeper intimacy with God. And I see that especially in you, Kevin, and it's fun to watch because, I mean, you know, you've sat across from me one-on-one and said, man, I don't know that I would choose this, but I'm thankful for this because not just what it's done in my relationship with my wife and my relationship with my family, but how it's drawn me to Jesus and how you've seen God provide and you've seen God move and you've experienced his faithfulness through some hard stuff, and that strengthens and grows our faith. And I just think that's a real place of maturity as Christ followers when we walk through anything hard. And we come out on the other side of it and go, I saw the goodness of God in that. That's a big deal, man. That's a really, really big deal. And then to use your experience for others, recognizing it's never just about us, you know? And so I want you to hear what they said. These are future leaders in our Reengage ministry, and that's who you'll experience in Reengage. It's people that know real life and real stuff, and they're real about it. They're authentic and real about what they're going through and what they've been through, and they just want to use that to help other people experience the beauty of what God has created marriage to be. And so, guys, we want to invite you. Come join us and the Rosenbaums and Reengage this fall. We're going to start in September. Go back to that camera scan deal and look at that link tree. You'll see a Reengage sign-up. Send that to us and let us know you're coming. But we want to invite you to this journey with us on Thursday nights as we have that experience together. Y'all give the Rosenbaums a hand again. I want to pray as we close out this morning, and I want to pray specifically for y'all and for the other marriages that are represented in the room. Let's pray. God, I thank you. I thank you for your presence that is in this room, and that I know that if I come to this place, that I'm going to see Jesus. God, I thank you that you're here and that you're powerful and that this place is a representation of your mercy and your grace and that I just get to be a part of that. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you for your word, for how it's clear and challenging but encouraging, how it's life-giving. I pray that you'd help us to build our lives on it. And I thank you for my friends. I thank you for their authenticity. I thank you for their hearts. I thank you for their struggle. I thank you for the results that you've brought and the people that you're forming them into. I thank you for their willingness to share and to be generous with what you've done in them as they just say and declare and use their struggle to say, our God is good. God, I pray that you would protect them. I pray that you would protect them as they leverage their lives for this. I pray that you'd strengthen them, that they would not grow satisfied with what they've experienced of you and of marriage, but that they would drill deeper and go further. I pray that you'd use them and that as you work through them, God, that you would also work powerfully in them. And for my friends in the room this morning who are ready to call it quits, I pray that you'd put a resolve in the depths of their hearts to fight for their marriage and not let it be destroyed by the evil one, but that you would bring life and restoration and resurrection into their marriages because you have the power and the control to do that, God. I pray for folks that need to join us for strengthening and for life-saving efforts and Reengage, that you would give them the boldness and the courage to come. Lord, we trust you. We love you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name.